Well, I'm here with a legend in my midst, in the midst of this room where they're coloring. What are they doing in here?
Who booked this room? Who's your talent agent?
Got to get a new agent. I am here with the multi-talented, a marketing genius. We've always said in our days of radio that you were the genius of the whole state. I'm not kidding. Kevin Richards, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Richie. Thank you. It's great to finally make it on your list of celebrities that have joined you.
Absolutely.
The other celebrities don't use the same room, do they? I mean,
no, I'm really hoping not. No, I'm just kidding. We thank this, CM Arts?
We're at the CM School of Fine Arts, and we happen to be sitting in the art room. They do all kinds of, they have music, acting, dancing, and we happen to be in the coloring room.
The coloring room, exactly. Well, you don't want to see me coloring. So, you have put together this show, and you're putting together other shows as well, and they're really 80s and 90s country artists. Where did you get the idea to do that, to pick that genre? Is it your first love, or do you really think, you know?
Well, Richie, several years ago, I hosted something at the CMA Music Festival called the CMA Close-Up Stage.
Oh.
And it reunited artists from each decade. There was a 70s panel, an 80s panel, and a 90s panel. And, for example, on the 70s panel, we were sitting on a stage with Bobby Bear, Mel Tillis, Crystal Gayle, Charlie Pride, Jim Ed Brown, you know, the 80s stage. It was Ricky Skaggs and Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers, right. Lee Greenwood. So, you know, I thought of that idea several years after pre-COVID. I was like, you know, let's get one of these guys to come up to the Northeast that rarely come, that, you know, that can't fill a SPAC and places like Proctor's aren't interested in, right, because there's a niche audience, but it's a niche but appreciative audience that likes those classic country music legends. And everyone has their own definition of a legend. Some people think 90s singers are legends.
Right.
Some think 60s and 70s are. So it's just throwback singers,
sure,
if you will.
Sure.
And I like to say we're putting great singers and songwriters back in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the way I like to look at it. I'm a big fan of that music. You are too. We grew up playing it.
And
we're fortunate to get to know a lot of these people when they were becoming stars.
Sure.
And they're still making great music. Just people don't get a chance to see them. So what I decided to do, not just try to get some of these people up here at the Charles R. Wood Theater. And by the way, a shout out to the Wood Theater for embracing this idea, is supporting it and promoting it.
Perfect
every
place
every
for
step
it.
Of the way.
Yeah.
And again, part of the idea was let's do shows in the North Country or close to home so people don't have to travel to Nashville to see a Grand Ole Opry star. They can see a Grand Ole Opry star at home.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So when we went to put this together and be like, let's get some of these people back up here from the 70s, 80s, 90s. But not only that, let's get them up here and do a different twist. It'll be acoustic. It'll be up close, because I've always been a big fan of those style shows. And we know that from working in radio, when artists would come in and do showcases with just a guitar.
I talk about that all the time.
Right. And you appreciate that so much more. You get to see the talent, hear the talent. I can understand every word.
That's right.
You know, that really makes me sound old, but I like that. I want to hear every word.
You're in my camp.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things we're looking at. Let's put on a show for people who really appreciate music in a small venue. You can actually see the singer, hear the singer. And of course, coming at a smaller venue, you know, obviously you have to pay a premium. You know, you're not dividing the ticket cost by thousands of people. It's a couple hundred. So, but there are people that are willing to do that and want that experience. So with that said, I wanted to bring the format, kind of what I did at the CMA close-up stage, as part of the acoustic show. So the singer will come in, the legend will come in, do an hour of their hits acoustic. After that, then we get the CMA close-up stage experience where I will bring some of my interviews to life on stage. That's one thing I've always done through the years is my interviews, my country conversations, as I call them.
That's right.
Let's do it on stage like I did at the CMA Music Festival, and then have the audience ask some questions as part. You know, not just me sitting here having a conversation, but you as an audience member could get the chance to ask a singer something you've always wanted to ask. So you're not just watching them. You're a part
you're
of the show.
You're interacting. Sure.
Yeah. Up close and personal. That was the whole idea of this, what we call Kevin Richards Country Concerts Close Up.
But, not to interrupt you, but the first one you booked is like the most legendary person. When you told me, I said, A, how did you get him?
Well,
how did you get that?
Richie, I've been so lucky to meet so many people in Nashville and work with them for years.
Including him, right?
Including Randy.
Right.
As part of stuff like the CMA Close-Up Stage or the Caribbean Country Cruises. So through the years, I've met a lot of wonderful people that work behind the scenes that book, promote, in charge of publicity for different artists. So those connections are now coming in handy.
Yeah.
So when I went to start this series, you know, it, my vision at first was Grand Ole Opry stars. I want to see someone like Jeannie Seely or Connie Smith, the stars of the Grand Ole Opry. Pre-COVID, I think I tried to mention this earlier and got, you know, got sidetracked. That happens, right?
What did you say?
I know. I'm like, wait, what was I talking about? No, I wanted to bring this up earlier. Is right. Pre-COVID, I was bringing in Opry stars like Bill Anderson, John Conley, and Jimmy Fortune of the Statler Brothers. And very well received. Again, small audience, niche crowd, but loves that kind of music. So COVID struck. I kind of put everything on hold for a while. Now that's kind of behind us. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pick up. But my original vision was Opry stars. But then, for some reason, I mean, it just kind of got, whoops, as the microphone falls over. I have experience. I shouldn't be knocking over my phone. I, you know, was shooting for those kind of stars. And the bigger stars came into play. Like, we want to do this.
Because that's a niche within a niche, in a way.
Right,
that's
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So, great stars, but a niche within a niche.
So we ended up with some bigger names from the 90s, like Aaron Tippin, and a few others that we will be announcing as we go along, Ty Herndon. But I really went, when I was looking for someone to start this series, Randy Travis immediately came to mind. I'm like, wouldn't it be great if we could pretty much have the biggest star of those two eras, 80s, 90s.
To start it off.
Start this whole thing.
Yeah.
And as we know, he did have some health issues several years ago, and his wife has done a great job of keeping him out there with the new book, the new documentary. And he does the Music of Randy Travis tour with James Dupree singing his songs. And I know he's limited in his ability to perform, but still, people want to see him.
Yeah.
Mary does a great presentation. So I had brought it up to Randy's manager. I said, if Randy at all would be interested, I would love to have him start this series. There's no bigger name. And there is another connection to that, Richie, why I wanted Randy. Back when I started in radio in 1986, I was just a kid at a small little station in Corinth. It was called WSCG.
You were like 13, weren't you?
I was very young, 12, 13 years old.
That's what I wrote down, 13-year-old Kevin.
So that was 1986. Randy Travis had just signed to Warner Brothers Records, I believe in February of that year. And they were releasing his songs. And he did a radio tour, and we're used to that when the singers come around, they're pitching their songs, like a new music showcases. And he was doing one of those, and WSCG had sponsored him at the Granville Theater as a new rising artist. So I got to meet him coming through in the very, very beginnings. And obviously, my radio career paralleled yours as well. We were on radio at the same time when Randy's career was growing, song by song. And you know, eventually he went from playing the Granville Theater to selling out what was then the Knickerbocker Arena in Pepsi Arena.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the reasons I wanted to go for him, one, the name that represented country music the best from the era, the throwback era, but also one that I had a personal connection with and people in the North Country had a personal connection with. So I brought that story up to his team, if you will, quickly. They were like, yes, let's do this. Because I had told them the idea of the CMA close-up stage back in the day when we had all those singers on stage. We were just talking and reminiscing and sharing stories. And once in a while, a singer would break into a song.
Right.
So knowing that, he was interested right away. We made it work that he would be the first. We would not start this series until the date worked with Randy Travis. And it did. And he and his wife are coming up September 11th, two shows, 3 and 6 p.m. at the Charles Arwood Theater in Glens Falls. And of course, we know that people just don't want to hear talk for an hour. And, you know, the other shows, we will, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have about an hour of singing first, then the interview.
Right.
Randy's a little bit different. So what we're going to do with Randy is have someone very talented start the show singing his songs. Well, you.
Mark Pierre.
You.
No, Mark Pierre.
Mark Pierre. Jenna Sue. We tried to think of some top talent that I've worked with. Oh, name of your podcast, right?
Yes. Thank you. I tried to think
of some top talent that we've worked with through the years locally that would complement the show and join me on stage. And I knew you. This is what you do. I know that, you know, years on the radio, you'd have a piano right there. And when someone brought up the name of a song, you could start playing. So I was thinking, you know, as I'm sitting on the stage with Randy and Mary, and we're talking about maybe some of his biggest hits, like Three Wooden Crosses or Forever Never Amen, I'm like, wouldn't it be good if someone was sitting right there with me and could just play it on the fly? And I was like, Richie's the guy for that job.
I'm so thankful that you called me. I can't. Can we do it now?
Yeah, I know,
can't
right? wait. I know. In one way, I don't want the event to come because it's going to come and go so fast.
We talked about it for so long now.
So that's what all this turned into and why I asked you to be involved. One, because I know you're a Randy Travis fan.
Yeah.
You're a beloved country music personality
in
the Northeast, CMA award winner. There's nobody better I could get on stage than Richie Phillips.
Oh, thank you.
And then, like I said, we reached out to some of our other talented friends, Jenna Sue and Mark Pierre, to help complement the evening. So that when Randy and Mary are on stage and we're sharing their story, what a story they have to share. And you know that from the audiobook you're listening to.
Folks, you got to get this book. Get the audiobook or get the book. It's... Mm-hmm. I think it's called Forever and Ever, Amen. Yeah. Or it might be Storms of Life.
Storms of Life, yeah. Forever and Ever, Amen.
Right, both.
And when you hear, you know, and not just the stroke and the health issues he's had over the last 10 years.
His career.
When you go way back to the beginning, 85 and 86, and we were talking about this earlier, he was turned down by every label in town, but doesn't stop. And also, he doesn't change. He doesn't change his style of country.
Right.
Just because he's been turned down because he's too country. And eventually breaks. And he breaks doing what he does.
Well, when I started on the station, I can remember that he would be the one guy. Well, actually, I worked at another station before the country station. Mm-hmm. Can I mention our country station?
No, I wouldn't mention that station.
No, I know you don't want to.
I don't want to mention that station.
He's politics, but it's all right. I'll do that.
Right.
So that station, okay, when I was at the, I was asked to go to that station, and my boss at the time, whose name was Uncle Fred Horton, may he rest in peace, a legend, he said, "Do you want to go to a country station?" And I said, I mean, I'm from Long Island, you know, I grew up with the Beatles and, you know, the Rolling Stones and that kind of thing. I don't know if I like crossover country, I said to him, but I'm not too sure about the tradition, just the typical answer that a lot of people get about country music.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And he said, first he said, "We'll double your salary." And I went, yeehaw.
Yeah, was-
But then when I did move over, I said, you know, it isn't too bad. I remember we were playing things like the Eagles in the beginning. You know, we were playing stuff that was borderline country, but kind of not. Mm-hmm. But we played Randy Travis. And I said, now there's a guy. He's very traditional. He's a throwback traditional, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he honestly sold. He was one of the ones that sold me on more traditional country. I mean that.
Right.
So when you asked me, I said, wow, this is such a full circle moment.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what a thrill for you then to be, because I was talking about my personal connection, 85, 86. You have one too.
No, it's
like,
exactly
if it wasn't for Randy Travis, you know? Wow.
But what do you think resonated with the public back then when
you know, Richie,
how did he get big? Because it was a bad time for him to get
it's
big.
It's funny you ask me that because I feel like I want to ask that to Randy and Mary Travis because I don't know. I don't know what it was that made him so likable because...
He was turned down by everybody.
Right. But the style of music he was doing, a lot of people didn't like. You yourself, you know, you're like, that old school, traditional, twangy stuff. People would say that. But Randy came along and he did that. But people loved it when he did it.
I know.
So I don't know. There was just something magical about him, and he helped the whole genre.
He turned it around.
He did. And he brought a lot of people to country music, and people love and respect him for that. And what a career, all the music. And he was always so kind to everyone.
Yeah, he seemed like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
There's two guys that changed it. Him, I think he was like Garth before Garth in a way.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
He changed the genre, and Garth picked it up.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it's just going to be a thrill to be on that stage. And I'm going to find a way to ask that question. See if Randy and Mary know. What was the secret to their success?
Right.
I would like to know what they think that magic thing that Randy had was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. In fact, I found an old interview. I forgot that when I was on with another partner at that station that we can't talk about, I found this interview. And but it's a terrible recording, so I could never play it. But he was saying how he was so busy and he was flying coast to coast promoting an album and a movie. I mean, he tried to make it as a movie star, too. And he did a lot of movies.
He was in several movie and TV projects, too, which we'll also talk about on stage because they have some really cool stories about working with Andy Griffith and Roy Rogers in the very, very beginning of his acting career.
That's right.
They helped him. So I can't wait to learn all this stuff on stage and hear them tell these stories of things we want to know, you know, or have heard about. So it's going to be so cool to do this.
Oh, I can't wait. So if you could close your eyes and have a wish list of people in the future that you would like on this, and I'll tell you my wish list from that era. But go ahead,
if you could, obviously of ones of who are still alive, because the ones who are not alive, that list is very long. Who I wish could be here, but the ones who are with us, and the biggest obstacle we run into is our theater is a little small, so some of the names I give you won't play a theater that size.
Okay,
so that's another thing. You know, as a fan, we love these small intimate venues, but not every artist is willing to do that, but those that are, we're very appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see some of the legends, again, like Whisper and Bill Anderson, as I mentioned. I'd love to see him there. Some of those Opry legends that are still here, like Connie Smith or Jeannie Seely, but those 80s legends that I think really took country music to the next level, right with Randy Travis, I would love to have a Barbara Mandrell on stage, a Crystal Gayle, a Ronnie Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap.
Yes, Ronnie Millsap. Oh, Lee Greenwood.
Yeah.
Those guys from the 80s. And maybe because that's when I was really coming into radio and I appreciate that 80s genre so much.
Mike. Well, you shocked me once with this. I wouldn't put anything past you. Another one, always loved her, loved her, was Kathy Mattea.
Oh, yes. She'd be on a wish list for sure.
Yeah.
I would love to see her up here. The ladies like Kathy Mattea, Susie Boggess, Mary Chapin Carpenter.
She'd
be another good one. But
right.
And I love how you're bringing up these names here because, again, they're names that normally you don't see around here in big venues, because the big venues obviously are going to go for your mainstream crossovers, your Morgan Wallen, your Florida Georgia Line that appeal to so many people.
Right.
But we're not doing that. We're appealing or we're going for the small group of people who still love and appreciate that group of singers from the 70s and 80s and 90s.
And this is the thing. I guess I'm making a criticism of broadcasting in general, and having 30 years of it, I shouldn't really complain, and I'm not, but just broadcasting in general, broadcasting makes somebody irrelevant that doesn't have to be irrelevant. These people are not, just because they're not on radio or on TV anymore doesn't mean they don't exist.
A great example of that is Ty Herndon has just released a new album and a new song.
Oh,
that song, if it was released back when he was having hits or his hit streak, it'd be number one.
Wow.
It would be. It's a really good song. It's called Till You Get There. It just came out. But you bring up a good point. Like, if it was played on the radio and it got the exposure, Ty would have a number one hit alongside all the people going
those
out.
Are the guys.
And of course, Reba and Dolly. I don't think we can afford them.
Listen,
but
I have a number. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Harrison sings it in a way.
Who would you like to see?
In your ears, not in your eyes.
I think there's so many good songs we never hear on the radio.
I know. If you could, somebody on Facebook mentioned him, that would be great.
It's the way it goes. But hopefully with this series, we will give Richie a chance.
Like I said, putting these great singers and songwriters paying
attention to my Facebook
page.
They
can also showcase some of these.
Is this a hint?
I can't say any more than this. Pay attention to my Facebook page, Richie. You'll be a happy man.
He's also still recording after all these years, just celebrated his 25th anniversary, put on a new album. So I can't wait to hear what he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. So it's going to be a good series. We've got a lot of sport behind it. But the only way we can do it is if people actually buy tickets and help us spread the word so that we can keep these 80s, 90s, and early Y2K people coming in for this series to play these up-close and personal shows.
Now, it says here I'm supposed to ask, where can you get the tickets, Kevin? See, it was right here on the screen. Yeah, you wrote that, I think.
Yeah, I did. Bigger print next time. KevinRichards.com.
Yes.
KevinRichards.com. Wasn't there a jingle one time? KevinRichards.com.
Yeah, I could do one for you.
I think you made it.
I think I did. Yeah.
So go to KevinRichards.com. We'll keep you in the loop. And as our series continues to grow, we may be experimenting with other venues and other markets. So we're very excited with that. It's all starting at the Charles R. Wood Theater, and they have been absolutely wonderful and so supportive of this series. So even if it starts and ends there, great. But just our intentions are to keep these people coming up here, and we're going to do whatever we can to keep them coming. As long as the people want to see them. If people don't buy tickets and don't want to see them, well, we'll stop.
That's the bottom line.
Right. We'll stop. But if we're getting full shows and people want to go, we will keep them coming. So you don't have to go to Nashville to see them every weekend. We'll have them coming here.
Isn't there there's a country bar in Saratoga that their whole idea was to do I think they call it a Nashville.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here it is. We're actually bringing Nashville to the North Country, those great legendary singers and songwriters. And, we do hope maybe down the line to bring in some songwriters that, that again appeals to a niche market, but it's very interesting to have that kind of entertainment to hear someone who wrote big, big hits for other people sing them
the way they wrote them. So eventually down the line, we may launch a songwriter series, but we're just so excited to offer this. And I hope people will come and watch the Randy Travis Show. It's going to be something like you've never seen before. You're not just buying a ticket and just, you know, watching your ordinary everyday concert, you know, there's going to be talking, there's going to be interacting. You will be entertained.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure. Because he does this in other areas. This isn't his first go. Well, it isn't his first go round as an entertainer, but I mean, doing this exact show, because I've seen it advertised in different areas.
Yes, right? Yes. So Randy Travis Show is going to be very entertaining.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So help us spread the word.
And the other, wait a minute, you have Aaron Tippin, and you have another show coming up.
Yes, we have Ty Herndon, November 27th. But let's also bring up this, Richie. It's not country, but it's just fun. I love Christmas time. I love Christmas music. I love Christmas shows. And for years, I'd always make it a point to bring my family to a Christmas show. That would be our thing we do. Rather than exchange gifts, we'd go do something together. So we'd find a holiday show, whether it be Donny or Marie or Kenny Rogers Christmas. You know, and those guys were always great.
Miss him.
Oh, my God. There's another legend, and we just love that guy.
Could you imagine if we could have gotten him?
Oh, right.
Probably would have done it.
So what we're going to do to keep just something fun and silly for Christmas time, we have a Liberace and Elvis Christmas show.
I saw that advertisement.
And you know, Elvis had some country hits. Liberace, not so much, but an all-around entertainer, and what a great, great, fun guy we have playing the role of Liberace. David Miyako, he's from Provincetown, but he travels all over the world doing this Liberace tribute, which is a lot of fun. People are going to love it.
I've been doing these a couple of podcasts with tribute acts, and I did a tribute Billy Joel guy who came to the area, and he was absolutely fantastic. And it makes me think, these tribute shows, they definitely serve a function, because if you can't afford, number one, who can afford these $200, $250 tickets?
Exactly.
Kind of like you're serving a function too. You get to see these people, you're not paying as much.
Right.
Especially the tribute acts could be at a local bar, you know? So, and they're all over the country. In fact, I read that they are the biggest money maker in all of entertainment right now, the tribute acts.
Tribute acts. Wow. Well, it's also great, too, because even though it might be an act you can't get tickets to, it could be an act that's no longer with us.
Right.
But you're still a fan of.
That's right.
You know, and something like Liberace, I mean, how random is that? You know, you don't know, I'm going to go see a Liberace tribute artist. But when you think of all the years he was in Vegas and all the people he entertained.
It's great entertainer.
And they keep it going. And David does a fabulous job with it. If you ever have a chance on Facebook, look up David Miyako. He's on Facebook. Or his website. Not exactly sure what the website is. Christmas with Lee is his show. And he does just, you can see his clips on YouTube. He's a lot of fun.
And the Elvis guy is?
His name is Drew Polson. Now, there's a lot of great Elvis impersonators. Drew comes to us from the Glens Falls area.
Oh, he does?
So it'll be a hometown show for him. But he has won several Elvis competitions across the country and puts on one of the most in-demand Elvis tribute shows there is. And he's right from Glens Falls.
I got to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, right. Oh, we can make that.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're excited for all this great music and entertainment coming. And there's more. We're putting together the spring lineup now. And Richie may have leaked the secret.
I can't believe it. You've got that.
We're working on it. And I'm just not only honored that Randy Travis will be on stages with the first night, but you will too. Because you yourself, Richie, bring a lot of talent to the show, and you're a broadcast legend, and people are going to love to see you again on stage.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And with my comrades there, Mark Pierre, and Jenna Sue, who, by the way, I practiced with her, and you know, I called you right afterwards. What did I call you, like 2 a.m?
You did. You're like, you have to hear this rehearsal. It's and I listened to it, and I'm like, sounds like you guys were in a studio in Nashville.
This girl, she can sing. I just handed her the mic, and see this little box here?
Yeah.
I said, I'm just going to push record just for the heck of it, and I'm playing the piano, and I'm like, my eyes are popping out of my head listening to her. She really, really.
I can't wait to hear her sing that night.
It's tremendous. Good. Well, thank you, Kevin. I know you got to get back. He's doing line dancing while he's doing this.
And we really are. We're not even making that up.
No,
Richie was kind enough to bring his podcast studio to where I am this afternoon at the CM School of Fine Arts, where we're teaching line dancing on the other side of the building. People are like, Kevin, you still line dance after all these years? Oh, yeah, we have so much fun with it. We do. I might not dance as fast as I used to, but we're still doing that, too.
That's great.
We have a lot of fun.
We do. Everywhere we go, we just, I like country music, country dancing, whatever, music.
I see your schedule.
Richie's the same way, you know, loves music, anywhere he can play it.
But you're all over the place. I watch your schedule all over. I go, he's there tonight, too?
And then sometimes in the afternoon and at night, you know?
Right, exactly.
Well, we hope to see everyone September 11th, Charles Arwood Theater. Go to kevinrichards.com. You're going to be so entertained. And if you can't make that one, I hope you'll consider going to the others. And Richie, what I'm hoping, too, is that people, you might not be aware of a name I mentioned. Maybe you don't know Ty Herndon, or maybe you're not familiar with Aaron Tippin.
Well, that's true.
I want to give you the kind of show where you're going to go and just expect to hear a good country music singer that maybe you will become a fan of, or maybe you missed them the first time they were around.
That's true.
You're going to rediscover some great, great talent, and we're hoping to put these great singers and songwriters back in the spotlight.
You're serving a big function, really great function. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much, and thank you. I'm going to push the button now because my batteries are going dead.
Bye-bye.